Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing here, going through our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2 of 1 Thessalonians. And we'll read here verse number 4, which says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And as we've been looking at this, we've gotten down to the point of where the Apostle Paul starts talking about how we've been put in trust with the gospel. Now, we see that as you look through the Apostle Paul's writings, you see how he makes reference to this message that has been given to him, and how this same message has been given to him, it's also being given to other individuals to be continuing and going out and sharing this message. For example, let's go over here to the book of Galatians. We're going to Galatians chapter number 2 for a moment here. Over in Galatians 2, you see a discussion of where the Apostle Paul is having this meeting with individuals who were part of the little flock who were ministering to the nation of Israel. And you see how there's a discussion about the messages that are being taught, because there's very clear that there is a difference between what the Apostle Paul is saying and what other individuals are saying. And that's why, as you go through this chapter here, and I want to read verse number 7, it says, "But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." Now, the way a lot of people actually take this passage is they look at it and say that, you know, the discussion with between Paul and James, Cephas, who's Peter, and John, they're looking at it and realizing that they're teaching the exact same message, and that the most effective way for the gospel message to go out is for them to divide up this ministry that they have, letting Paul go out unto the heathen, unto all the Gentiles, and that James, Cephas, and John would restrict their ministry to the nation of Israel, but they're all teaching the exact same thing. And how they end up coming to this conclusion is that so many of the modern translations of the Bible, when in verse 7, when it says the gospel of the uncircumcision and then the gospel of the circumcision, then instead of that word "of" being there, it says "to." So it would read that, "So that the gospel to the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel to the circumcision was unto Peter." And as a result of that change of that one two-letter word from "of" and into making it to say "to," that it takes it from there being two distinct gospel messages that are being given out. One that the Apostle Paul has a responsibility to be going on teaching to the uncircumcision, or as you get down into verse 9, when it identifies as the heathen, and the message has been given, you know, the responsibility of preaching to the nation of Israel, that Peter, James, and John actually had that responsibility, and that they're two very distinct messages. And this is why you see Paul over and over using terms to talk about the information that's been given to him and how it's a unique thing that he has. You know, we're here in Galatians. You can turn back into chapter number 1 for a moment where you see, we're going to read verses 11 and 12 of Galatians chapter number 1, which say, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And Paul's making it very clear that it's a message that was given to him directly by the Lord Jesus Christ and has nothing to do with anything that he would have learned hearing it being taught by another individual. This is what you see him talk about. Let's go over to the book of Titus for a moment. We're going to go to Titus chapter number 1, and we'll see what Paul's going to say about this as he's writing this epistle to Titus here. And we're going to read the first three verses of Titus chapter number 1. It says, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." And so we see Paul talking about this message, talking about how it's been committed unto him. This is information that has been revealed specifically to the Apostle Paul, as we saw over in the book of Galatians, and it's being committed unto him. He's been given the responsibility of going out and teaching this message. That's why Paul, when he talks about his responsibility in the book of Ephesians, talks about how it's to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He knew that it was his responsibility to teach this message, to fulfill what God's will is, that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And a person can only receive salvation through the gospel that's given to the Apostle Paul. They can only come unto the knowledge of the truth through the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul. And this is why he's talking about the idea that it's manifested his word through preaching. The word has to be communicated to other individuals so that way they can receive the message that's being given for this dispensation. And we see that word dispensation and how that's being talked about being committed to the Apostle Paul. Let's go over to in the book of 1 Corinthians. So we're going to go to chapter number 9 here in the book of 1 Corinthians to see where Paul's going to make a reference to this. And we're going to read here verse number 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And it says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And here Paul is saying that a dispensation of the gospel has been given to him. And it's given to him, and he uses those terms, "follow me as I followed Christ." If it's given to him, and he's been recording this and teaching this, that this is the information that we need to be focusing on, the information that we need to be edifying, building ourselves up in the doctrine, so that way we can then walk worthy and be pleasing unto God. This is exactly what this assembly in Thessalonica was doing. They were receiving what was being said as the word of God. They were applying it to their lives. They were understanding the trust that they had related to this message and the commitment that they were supposed to have to the doctrine. And as a result of that, it was having an impact on who they are. Now, we see Paul talk about this responsibility commitment that we have. If we go over to 2 Timothy, and we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, to where we're going to see Paul, as he's writing his very last epistle here, is going to be speaking about this level of commitment that individuals are supposed to have. Here in chapter number 2 of 2 Timothy, we're going to read here verse number 2, and it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The responsibility that we have, and this is the responsibility any local assembly has, is that the responsibility of the local assembly is to evangelize, be preaching the gospel message, and that's the gospel that Paul talks about that's been committed unto him, and we're going to talk about what that gospel is in a couple minutes here. Not only is that responsibility, which fits into the will of God that all men would be saved, but there's that second part, which is to come unto the knowledge of the truth, which is where the other part of the responsibility that the local assembly has, which is the edification, the building up of individuals, the exhortation and encouragement for people to be continuing to stay true to the faith, stay true to what the Word of God says in this dispensation. And then there's also the idea of the eldership, which is what Paul's talking about here, of that the things that you've heard of him, that you're to take those things, commit it to other individuals, so that way they can go out and continue to teach the grace of God to other individuals, so that way this message keeps going forth, this gospel keeps shining as that light unto this world to bring people to this saving knowledge that God would have people to have. That's the response. So when he starts talking about this idea of that we've been put in trust with it, it's a true responsibility that the members of the body of Christ has. And that's why you see when you go through 2 Timothy and you see all these different warnings, these terms that he starts bringing up. You know, we can go back into chapter number 1. And we're going to read here verses 13 and 14 of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." And the responsibility that Paul has to be reminding Timothy of, and that he, in a sense, is reminding all the members of the body of Christ of, is that we are to hold fast the form of sound words. And we understand the form of sound words when we study the Word of God rightly divided, and understanding that the doctrine that applies directly to us today is found starting in the book of Romans and ending what's written in the book of Philemon. And if I read those 13 epistles, I have the understanding that I need of the doctrine that directly applies to me. Now, that doesn't mean that we as the members of the body of Christ shouldn't be looking at the other 53 books of the Bible, because that's what individuals accuse us of doing. You know, because Paul identifies the fact that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. And I just, you know, that whole idea of we are to be having an understanding of what the Word of God is, understanding it in its proper context. If I'm looking at things in, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I understand that it's applying to the nation of Israel. I understand the doctrine that's there. but I should also have a working knowledge of it. I shouldn't just think, well, that's just Israel's program, but forget what that says. I should have an understanding of what God's word actually says. And Paul identifies the fact, you know, and he talks about how, you know, those things are written for our learning, but he's specific about that we've been put in trust with the gospel message that's for today. Because there's only one gospel message that can provide salvation to individuals in this dispensation. And we find that gospel, you know, that's not the gospel that's, you know, John 3:16. It's not Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It's the message that we find, right? Let's go over to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to chapter number 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we read here the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And here we have Paul laying out what that gospel message is. Talking about the message that he received, that he's been going around and preaching to individuals. You know, you see in the very beginning of this epistle, he talks about the preaching of the cross, which he's making a direct reference to this gospel message here, because what you see in verses 3 and 4 are very specific to what was accomplished on the cross at Calvary, and how the issue of that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he died. And we see how the Scriptures talk about the fact that his sin, or our sin, because he didn't sin, it's our sin that's placed on him. And instead of it being our sin that we have his righteousness, and it's his righteousness because of the fact that he did not commit sin. And as a result of our sin being placed on him, we have the fact of that he died for our sin. You know, so he had to take care of the penalty for sin, because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. There's a punishment related to, you know, sin that results in death. That had to be taken care of. The Lord Jesus Christ took care of that issue. But it's not only just the fact of his death, because there's more to it than just he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And when we put our trust in what's written here, this is the only thing that we have to trust. You know, we don't have to do anything. You know, we don't have to do 10 backflips. We don't have to do, you know, be water baptized. We don't have to pray a certain prayer. We don't have to ask Jesus into our heart. We don't have to do any of those things other than put our trust in what he accomplished for us. And the end result of it is the fact that we have the victory. In fact, when you go down to the very end of this chapter, you see about, you know, in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And you see the victories he's talking about in the previous verses. It says, "Death is swallowed up in victory." We have a victory over death, over sin, over the law, all because of what he did. Now, this gospel message is not something you can find anywhere else in the Scriptures. fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ started to talk about the fact that he was going to die, you see that the apostles, you know, they weren't saying, you know, praise the Lord, we understand what this means and that's going to take care of our sin. Their very first response was, suffer it not to be so. And their response was in that manner because from the perspective of the nation of Israel, what needed to happen was that there was going to be a literal, physical kingdom established on planet Earth with the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning over them in that kingdom. And if he was going to die, that was going to have a major impact on the kingdom being established. And so they were rejecting this idea of his death. That's why you don't see it written anywhere else talking about what this is going to accomplish. And instead of it being made a reference there, you see it being given to the Apostle Paul to the point of where he has to over and over again talk about how it's my gospel that's been given to him. We see that, for example, let's go over to Romans chapter number 2, where we're going to see, you know, one of these times that Paul uses this term, and we're going to read verse number 16 of Romans chapter number 2, which says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And it's Paul's gospel that's going to be the thing of judging individuals who live during this dispensation. Let's go over to chapter number 16 in the same book of Romans, where again, we will see the Apostle Paul make this reference to this my gospel that's been given to him. And we're going to read verses 25 and 26 of Romans chapter number 16. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And we see how, as he's talking about this message and the information that he had, you see how he calls it the revelation of the mystery. He talks about how it was kept secret since the world began. And that's why you don't see it, you know, in Genesis. You don't see it in Exodus. And all the way, you can go through every single book of the Bible leading up to the Apostle Paul, and you have no reference to the dispensation of the grace of God. You have no reference to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You have no reference to the fact that what the cross was going to accomplish outside of the nation of Israel, and that it was going to serve a heavenly purpose to reconcile all of the heavens through an entity known as the body of Christ. And you see, Paul, you know, even in his last epistle that he writes, let's go back over to 2 Timothy. We're going to go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, to where we'll see again Paul make this reference to this idea of the my gospel here. I'm going to read here in verse number 8. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And he has to keep bringing this message up over and over again. Just like we have to keep bringing this up over and over again, because individuals try to do everything they can to water down, to take away from the gospel message that actually brings salvation to individuals. And they do that by pulling things in outside of this information that's been given to the Apostle Paul, trying to apply things that truly belong in Israel's program and saying that it is supposed to be part of who we are as the members of the body of Christ. And every time that this is done, it has a major impact on the doctrine that's been given to us as the members of the body of Christ. Now, we're going to continue looking at some things related to this in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have links for how you can watch our services live on Facebook Live. You can watch them on YouTube Live as well. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option, so you can actually participate live in our Wednesday night Bible study as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions or comments about, you know, anything that you hear in one of these episodes, anything that you read on our website, or anything you hear in any of our other messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.